General Meetings, Toledo, November 1978. Address by Norman Berry.
I just have one word that I would like to speak out this afternoon, and it is a nine-letter word, and that is the word encourage. Encourage. U is the central word, letter of that nine-letter word. Encourage. Oh, beloved young people, we are living in a dark, dark day. And as we just survey the horizon, we see that it is becoming more and more gray. And I just trust now this afternoon that it may be a message from the Lord, a message to encourage you to go on. And as I meet the dear young people who are so dear to my heart, I see some, sadly I have to say, allowing the world to creep into their thoughts, their ambitions, their aspirations. Some of us have tried what the world has to offer. And as I so often say, we end up with nothing but a handful of ashes. And there may be some here this afternoon that are undecided. Many, I suppose. Undecided as to the path to follow. On the one hand, hearing in the meetings and at home much of the Lord. On the other side, in school and college and at work, anything but. Satan and all of his work, subtlety, violence, and corruption, those winds are blowing stronger and stronger. Oh, I trust that this may be a word for you today that will cause you, from the Lord himself, to go on for the Lord. And then there may be some, and I believe there are, who desire to go on for the Lord, who have sought the Lord. I was watching a young person, I think she's about 9 or 10 years of age. I've noticed something about that girl, quiet. I saw her come into the meeting the other day. I watched her. She sat down, it was 10 to the hour. What'd she do? She opened up her Bible right away and she started to read the Bible. Those are the ones that I trust will be encouraged today. Are you, is there someone here this afternoon, this morning, this afternoon, that desires now to have the Lord before you, to go on, to be strengthened by his blessed word? Oh, may this word encourage now to be yours this afternoon, directly from the Lord. Now there are, as I said, nine letters in that word. And I would just like to take up those nine threads, as it were, and trace through the scriptures just a few of the places where this word appears. In the Old Testament and in the New. So let's turn now to Deuteronomy 3, first of all. Deuteronomy 3, verse 28. Now we won't have time to spend on each one of these verses, but I'd just like to give a brief outline. Moses is just at his course. A young man has been with for a long time. In Joshua. And it's interesting, just in passing, to notice how often young and old, or I should say older brothers and younger ones, are grouped together. We find Moses and Joshua. We find David and his son Solomon, encouraging his son Solomon. And we find in the New Testament, we find Paul encouraging a young man, Timothy. It's nice to see these couples grouped together. Oh, dear young people, not to be looking at the older ones, but if you know some of those who the older ones who are desiring to go on faithfully in their walk, you cultivate their friendship. You'll learn, you'll be blessed through your close contact, as it were, with those older ones. You'll be blessed. Here was Moses about, as I said, just at the end of his life. He asks the Lord, can I go into that land? The Lord says, no. Now don't ask me again. He wasn't going to hear his prayer. Well, this would be enough to discourage Moses. This would be enough to say, well, if I'm not going to go in, I'm not going to be concerned about anybody else. But oh, beloved, dear young people, Moses was told by the Lord to encourage this young fellow, Joshua. Now let's read this verse, 28th verse. In spite of the fact that Moses was told not that he wasn't going into the land, this is why I believe this word but is there. 28. That's Deuteronomy 3:28. But charge Joshua and encourage, there's our word, him, and strengthen him, for he shall go over before this people, and he shall cause them to inherit the land which thou shalt see. Well, there were three things there. One was to charge Joshua. He was going to speak directly to him. Second thing is that he was to encourage him. Oh, dear young people, this is what I want to do by God's grace this afternoon, to encourage you to go on. You may be like this man. It may be that the Lord has a work for you to do. You dear young men that are here this afternoon, I see some of you. I just had a letter the other day from one of the young men. Oh, he may be a Joshua. You know, it was a dark day that Joshua was taking over. And it may be, if the Lord doesn't come in the immediate future, you may be called on to stand in difficult days. You may be a Joshua. Oh, I would encourage you, as the Lord here instructed Moses, encourage him to go on. He was going to be the one that was going to lead Israel into that land. Oh, beloved ones, wouldn't it be a wonderful experience for us if we're alive when the blessed Lord Jesus comes? And it may be he may come this very afternoon. And to be faithful right to the end. Well, here was Joshua getting this word of encouragement from Moses. He was one that was going to be, he knew it. We may not know it, but Joshua knew that he was going to lead these people on. Well, it's a nice position to be in, isn't it? And we're going to be seeing different situations and circumstances, some not nearly as lovely as this. But it may be that this is your portion. It may be that the Lord has given you certain abilities to be able to be used by him. Oh, dear young people, if the Lord has equipped you that way, oh, be faithful to him. Don't waste those early years of your life. Go on for the Lord. You may be a Joshua. And in that case, the Lord will encourage you, as the Lord gave definite instructions here to Moses. Encourage him. Now then, let's go on into 1 Samuel. Chapter 30. Now the precious word of God is so full, it doesn't always have nice circumstances. It sees through the wisdom of God every circumstance. And here may be your situation now, of which we're going to read in the 30th chapter now of 1 Samuel. Here's David. David also had a calling. He knew what his destiny was going to be the king of Israel. But here was a testing time now. He had had a friend, and his name was the one that was with Saul's son, Jonathan had been pledging his faithfulness and his love to David. But here we're going to see a very difficult situation now, and there's no Jonathan around. And dear young people, it may be that this would describe a condition in which you find yourself. Difficulties in your life, difficulties in the assembly. There may be those things that would be really testing. You look around and you see failure, disputes, difference of opinion, enough to discourage you. Oh, dear young people, here is the message for you. David finds himself in such a condition. No Jonathan around him. Now let's read 1 Samuel chapter 3. Verse 3. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captives. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. Oh, that was a dark day, wasn't it? And David's two wives were taken captives, Ahinoam, the Jezreelitess, and Abigail, the wife of Nabal, the Carmelite. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, or embittered, as Mr. Darby's translation puts it. Every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. Now isn't that a remarkable contrast to Joshua's time? Everything was just looking bright there. And here's a dark day now. Everything is gone now. He's lost his family, taken captives. Not only so, but the people that were around him, they're so distressed that they are just weeping so until there's no more strength to weep. That'd be enough to shake his confidence with him. And then the people turned against him and started to stone him. They wanted to stone him. Almost total rebellion against David. What's he going to do? Is there somebody to look around to see if there's anybody to encourage him? No, there's nobody. There's no one. Oh, dear young people, as I said, it may be your lot. You may be called upon to stand alone. And I believe as the days get darker that this is going to be the experience of the Lord's people. I believe that we're going to be called to stand more and more alone. You may be amongst young people in your little assembly. Some of them may not want to be, not desire to go on for the Lord. They may scoff at you. They may try to discourage you, to turn you away, to try to occupy you with the world, whatever it may be. Here is David. And it may be you. And what does it say? But. Whoa, glorious but there. David encouraged himself in the Lord. Nobody else could turn to him. What a beautiful expression this is. David encouraged himself in the Lord. Is the Lord ever going to let you down? Never. The difficulties may be around. They may be just as bad as this. The Lord knows all about them. The Lord has recorded all these circumstances to encourage you this afternoon. Oh, dear young people, those of you who desire to go on now, though the day may become dark and perilous, the Lord is there. the Lord. Turn to the Lord. Seek Him. Well, David didn't know what to do. Let's just read a verse or two to get the connection. Verse 7. And David said to Abiathar the priest, Abimelech's son, I pray thee, bring me hither the ephod. And Abiathar brought thither the ephod to David. And David inquired of the Lord, saying, Shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered him, Pursue him, for thou shalt surely overtake him, and without fail recover all. Oh, isn't this a nice little word? What does he do now? Does he just encourage himself in the Lord and say, Well, I don't know what to do now? Ah, he turns to the Lord for guidance. He speaks to the Lord. Oh, you have this door open, beloved young people. Turn to the Lord. Seek Him, His guidance. He'll hear you. You can pray with a good conscience. 1 John 3:21. The love of our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of Him, because we keep His commandments and do those things which are pleasing in His sight. Oh, it's a great thing to have a good conscience in prayer, but then to have that blessed confidence to know that the Lord will hear you. It says there that the Lord heard him. Oh, dear young people, the Lord loves you. He wants to encourage you. This is a whispering word now to you. And here was that word from the Lord directly to David, in spite of all those difficulties. Thou shalt recover all. Let's turn over the page. And yes, the end of the 19th verse. I'll just read three words. David recovered all. God had said that he would recover it all. He did recover it all. Don't lose your confidence in the Lord, though the days are getting so dark. The Lord will sustain you, and He would encourage you to go on. So there we have two extremes. We have a man that is surrounded by with the confidence that everything is going to go along well. Here is David on the other extreme, so discouraged and distressed, he doesn't know what to do. But, the Lord knew all about it, and the Lord sustained. Now let's go on into 2 Chronicles chapter 31, I think it is. Verse 4. 2 Chronicles 31, verse 4. Here's our third little thread now that can be woven into this pattern. Third one. Here is a dark day. Now, another dark day. 10 tribes had gone off in rebellion under Jeroboam and had gone down and down and down. 2 tribes remained faithful to the Lord, Judah and Benjamin. The days came when those 10 tribes were taken off into captivity by Assyria, never found since around the year 600 BC or so. And here was this little group, 2 tribes left, Judah and Benjamin, and it had got darker and darker. And they were about to be swept away too. But here's a man, Hezekiah, whom the Lord raised up now. And here is what it says about him. And this is 2 Chronicles 31 and verse 2. We'll just read a few parts there. And Hezekiah appointed the courses of the priests and the Levites after their courses, every man according to his service, the priests and Levites for burnt offerings and for peace offerings, to minister and to give thanks and to praise in the gates of the tents of the Lord. Now, don't forget that this was a very dark day, but Hezekiah wanted to return and to carry out now this Passover according to God's word. Now then, our fourth verse. Moreover, he commanded the people that dwelt in Jerusalem to give the portion of the priests and the Levites that they might be encouraged in the law of the Lord. Oh, isn't that nice? There's a little word, encouragement. encouraged. What was it? Who were they? Who was it for? The priests. Were the priests. They were the ones that had access into God's house. Oh, dear young people, if you belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, you're one of God's priests now. You have access into God's very presence as a priest. Every one of us, young or old, we, as according to 1 Peter 2 and 5, there it is, we are a peculiar people, and we are priests now with access into God's presence. Oh, here was a little word now for those priests. And this is a word again for each one of you young ones to realize your position and your privileges and to go on now in that priestly work. But, what does it say there? It was an encouragement in the law of the Lord. Oh, isn't that correct? Right in the Old Testament. Now, we'll see it also born out in the New Testament, but here it is in the Old Testament. To encourage those priests to go on now, encourage them in the law of the Lord. Lord, I ask you, dear young people, are you reading God's Word for yourself? It's the only thing that you and I have in these dark, dark days. The Word of God is going to go on forever. And this is the book from which you and I can draw our experience. We don't get it out of life. That's what people say, and all experience is the great teacher. But that's not true. Here is the great teacher, the blessed Word of God. Are you reading it? Are you saturating yourself in it? You mothers that are here this afternoon, that have your sons and daughters growing up, oh, what kind of an atmosphere are those boys and girls growing up in? Some of us have had mothers that have had those open Bibles on the counter in the kitchen. That's my memory of my childhood. Oh, dear mothers and fathers, are you feeding your children on the precious Word of God? Are you putting into them a foundation that will cause them to be strong in the Lord? Feeding on Christ yourself, feeding your dear children on Christ, and through the blessed Word of God. This is paramount. This is first. And this is what the priests were encouraged now, or would be encouraged in, to go on in the Word of the Lord. Now then, let's go on to the 35th chapter. We'll see another encouragement. Yes. 35 and verse 2. Right day? No, indeed. Josiah's time. Another restoration. Hezekiah's restoration has often been compared to the Reformation days of the 17th century, around there. But Josiah's day, the restoration under Josiah, has often been compared with the restoration of the truth in the 1830s and so on, around that time. The difference between Hezekiah's time and Josiah's was this, that Josiah's was much more according to the Word. Wonderful day of Hezekiah's restoration of the truth, but nothing in comparison with Josiah's as far as the Word was concerned. And yet, we saw how that they were encouraged in the Word. But here now, and there has been an interval between of dark days, but Josiah is on the throne, and Josiah is a faithful king. Dark days. The Lord said that the judgment was coming. And oh, dear young people, it's just like today. We know that judgment is just about to fall on this poor world. Those boys and girls that you're at university with or at school, if they don't know the Lord, they're on their way to hell. Are we being faithful to them, witnessing to them? There was a dark day now, Josiah's day. And let's read what it says there. Second Chronicles 35, and verse 1. Moreover, Josiah kept the Passover unto the Lord in Jerusalem. And they killed the Passover on the 14th day of the first month. That was exactly as it should have been, according to Moses' word. And he set the priests in their charges and encouraged them to the service of the house of the Lord. There you go. Now here's another encouragement. This time it was beyond the word. Here was an encouragement now in the service of the house of the Lord. Now, I'd just like to point out this, that the priests were different from the Levites. The Levites were in connection with the service of carrying the tabernacle through the wilderness. But when the camp stopped, and when the tabernacle was set up, the Levites were just around the tabernacle as guards, but they didn't have any service in the house of the Lord. But here was a privileged people, the priests now, and they, as it were, came into being when the tabernacle stood still in connection with the approach or the worship of God. What is it telling us? Oh, it's telling us, dear young people, that no matter how difficult the day, are you and I groaning in our souls? Are we reading God's word according to the encouragement of Hezekiah? But are we realizing that as gathered to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that it is the greatest privilege on the face of this earth? Oh, what a glorious privilege this is. I would seek to encourage you now to go on. I believe this word service is not in connection with Levitical service, but it is in connection with priestly service. Are you missing the meetings? Or are you one of those ones that is there? Can we grow if we're missing the reading meetings? I don't believe so. I believe that it is very important for every one of us to be at the Lord's, when we remember the Lord, that is paramount. I see always the meetings are much larger on that day. And then I see the reading meetings halfway between, possibly, but the prayer meetings small. Oh, is that neglecting the service of the Lord? I believe so. Are we? Well, here is a word now of encouragement to go on in these two things, in the word of the Lord and in that which is in connection with the worship of the Lord. Do you belong to the Lord? Yes, you might say. Do you pray to the Lord? Oh, yes. That's a quick reply, isn't it? Are you remembering the Lord? Heads dropped. No. But you still pray to the Lord, to ask the Lord to help you, and to get encouragement from the Lord? Yes. Is there a response in your heart, in our hearts to the Lord? The service of the Lord? Oh, how little he asks of us. Just merely to remember him. I shouldn't say merely. What a glorious privilege. But we're not going to have a heart for it, dear young people, unless the Lord is precious to us. But, oh, I would just encourage you, taste and see that the Lord is good. And so here were those two encouragements, one for the word and the other for the service of the house of the Lord. Now then, let's look at an interesting one in Isaiah chapter 41. Here's our fifth thread. I'd like to read a verse to give you a little bit of a background. In the previous chapter, last verse. But they that's Isaiah 40 and 31. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint. Now, here's the verse. Verse 6 of the next chapter. Isaiah 41, verse 6. Now, here is our thread. and our work. They helped every one his neighbor. And every one said to his brother, be of good courage. Or as Mr. Darby's translation puts it, take courage. So the carpenter encouraged the goldsmith. And he that smoothed with the hammer, him that smote the anvil, or on the anvil, saying, it is ready for the soldering. And he fastened it with nails, that it should not be moved. Now there are a lot of interesting things. I highly recommend you to meditate on this wonderful verse. What does it say? They helped everyone his neighbor. Oh, isn't that a wonderful thing? Are you? Am I? Are we encouraging others to go on now? Everyone, he didn't just have his special favorites, but it says they encouraged everyone his neighbor. There wasn't any difference. So often, we're liable to drift toward those with whom we are especially friendly because of social conditions or whatever it might be. But here is a lovely word, isn't it? And they helped everyone his neighbor. Are you encouraging those who desire to go on? Well, there's the word. Now then, and everyone said to his brother, take courage. Is that nice? Are you a discourager where you are in your own assembly? Or are you one who is saying, take courage? Oh, can we say that today, dear young people? Yes, we can. Indeed, we can. Is the Lord with us? Yes, he is. Is he going to be with us all the way through? Yes. Would he desire to be the object of our life? Yes, indeed. Is he sufficient to satisfy every longing of your heart and mind? Yes, he certainly is. Oh, take courage. That is the first thing. And then what? So the carpenter encouraged the goldsmith. Well, what's the carpenter do? The carpenter works in wood. And wood in the scripture, you know, is a picture of humanity. The Lord Jesus, Son of God, he became a man. He took on the human, the body of a man. Although he didn't have a sinful nature, but he was in all ways as we are as men, as a man. Well, here is the man that worked in the wood. That was, we could say, the humanity side. Now, this verse is very instructive, I believe, in contrast to what we've had before us, because in the previous verses, because they are more having to do with the spiritual life. But here now is a word of encouragement for all aspects of our life, not only the assembly life, our whole life. And here is the man that is engaged in the work of the carpenter, dealing, as I said, in the humanity side. And what does he do? Well, he is encouraging the goldsmith. Now, what's the goldsmith? Well, I believe, you know, the gold is in the picture, in the scriptures, is a picture of the divine righteousness or the righteousness of God. Well, here was a man that was engaged in that work. They were quite a contrast, weren't they? The carpenter and the goldsmith. The carpenter might have been heavier work than the goldsmith. He might have the more delicate work to do. But here they're encouraging one another. Oh, isn't that nice? They were encouraging each other. What else? And he that smoothed with the hammer, encouraged by there, that smote on the anvil. Now, here was another set. Here was a man that was a smoother with the hammer. Well, he would have to have a delicate touch. And there he would be smoothing out that which was had been spoiled. And there is the other man. He's got the great big sledgehammer. And here he is hammering out on the anvil. Now, you know, beloved, dear young people, each one of us has a job to do. It may be your job to do a certain work for the Lord. And it may be someone else's opportunity to be working in another way. And there are in the assembly occasions when it is the nice little tap of the hammer that helps. I can look back in my life and can remember years and years ago when an old brother sidled up to me as a young fellow. I don't think I was saved at the time. But I can well remember the day he just tapped me on the shoulder and quoted me a verse of scripture. That's well over 50 years, 55 years ago. He was just giving me a little tap with a hammer. But I appreciated that. It was an encouragement to me. And if some of the older ones just give you a little bit of a tap with that hammer, just say that's an encouragement from the Lord. I'm going to go on. But sometimes there has to be the hammer, the great big mallet. And there is the heavy hand. And it may be that on the occasion, in the assembly, there may have to be that heavy hand laid. Well, here was one that was engaged in the more delicate side, and here he was in encouraging the one who had to lay the heavy hand. And so there they were, encouraging each other. Now one last one. Sing at the middle of the seventh verse. Sing. Notice in your margin. Sing of the soldering. Solder. It is good. Now here's a soldering man. What's a soldering man? He's the man that smooths over the rough. He puts on the solder and then he has to grind it down. Well, it may be so too. This is grace, I believe, that would cover those things that need covering and smoothing over. I don't mean to say to condone the evil, but I do mean that I believe that there are times when we need to be good solderers. And so here was the solderer. And what was said to about his work? It's good. Didn't say it was bad. Didn't discourage that solderer. It was good. Well, a little word of encouragement? Oh, how much we remember those things. I'm sure, as I look into your faces, you remember days when somebody has just said a little bit of a word of encouragement. You know, that word encourage is very close to cheer. Now, I don't need to talk to you about cheerleaders and all this kind of a thing. And all the sports, why, there you hear the great cheers. What are they doing? They're trying to encourage the competitors to go on. Ah, beloved ones, this is what the Lord wants to do to you today, to encourage you to go on for Him. He will bless you. He will become more precious to you. Now there are five threads from the Old Testament. Let's go on now into the New to see how the fabric is all one. Let's turn now to Romans. Chapter 15. Romans 15 and verse 4. For whatsoever things were written aforetime. Now there is the fabric drawn together. Old Testament, New Testament. All those things that are written in the Old Testament that we have been reading of. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning. Mr. Darby's translation says, instruction. Or are you getting this instruction from the Lord, from His Word? That we, through endurance, patience, and comfort, well, here's that word, encouragement of the Scriptures might have hope. As I said earlier, Old Testament encouragement in the Word of God, New Testament now. Here is the only book that is going to encourage you, dear friends. I often speak of a young student that came into one of the meetings. He was a student of psychology. And he told me, he said, I've had 3 years of psychology. And he said, 3 years of questions and not one answer. He wasn't a believer. He was honest, though. Well, dear young people, this is where you're going to get your encouragement from. The encouragement of the Scriptures. You might say, well, nobody's encouraging me around where I live, my assembly. Oh, you have the Word of God to encourage you. Through the encouragement of the Scriptures. Are you availing yourselves of it? It's yours. God has written it for you. to encourage you. Old Testament? Oh, yes. I highly recommend your reading of the Old Testament, the one that was instrumental in leading me to the Lord. They used to call him the Old Testament prophet. He gave me a love for the Old Testament stories. Oh, saturate yourself in them, dear young people. They will be the encouragement and the examples that will encourage you to go on. So now the next verse. Beautiful verse. Verse 5. Now, the God of endurance, Mr. Garthy puts in, and consolation. Oh, here's our word again. Encouragement. Well, isn't this wonderful? God, it says, He is the God of encouragement. Now the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to be like-minded, one toward another, according to Christ Jesus, that ye may with one accord and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Ah, here it is. The God of encouragement. Are you availing yourselves of that blessed, glorious person? The God of encouragement. Now then, let's go on to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Now here we have a real cluster of threads. There are 10 of them. We just group them all together as one. Wonderful words. I have to read from Mr. Darby's translation in order for us to see them. It's interesting, just in passing, that the King James translation sometimes has the word comfort, sometimes it has the word encourage, and sometimes it is translated strengthen. Isn't that nice? Encourage, strengthen, comfort. Now let's read these verses. I'll read them right through now, and you will see the 10 threads. Blessed be the God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all encouragement, who encourageth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to encourage them which are in any trouble by the encouragement wherewith we ourselves are encouraged of God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound toward us, so our encouragement also aboundeth by Christ. And whether we be afflicted, it is for your encouragement and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer. Or whether ye be encouraged, it is for your encouragement and salvation. And our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as ye are partakers of the sufferings, so shall ye be also of the encouragement. And so on. I believe there are 10 there. Oh, isn't that a lovely little group? God would direct you, dear young people, to what He wants to do. God would desire that you would be encouraged by Himself. He openeth His hand and satisfieth the longing soul. What's in His hand? Himself. You notice as we read on there that the encouragement was interwoven with the trials and the difficulties? Is God not acquainted with the troubles, the difficulties of your particular life? Oh, yes, He is. That's why we find those words there of tribulation and suffering. He knows what you and I may be called on to endure. But in the midst of all those, He would comfort you and encourage you and strengthen you. Oh, may the Lord just encourage us there then, in this way. Now then, the last one, in the last verses of this same book, 2 Corinthians, chapter 13. 2 Corinthians 13 and 11. Finally, brethren, farewell. Be perfect. Be encouraged. Be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace shall be. You'll never find me. But the Lord would direct your thoughts above all the difficulties. Just that little word. Finally, or for the rest. In other words, it's going to go on now. And oh, dear young people, you have the blessed word of God. If you belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, you have the Holy Spirit in your heart. You have the God of all encouragement. Oh, then may you take these words to your own heart now. Finally, brethren, farewell or rejoice. Be perfected. That's in connection with unity. Is there a desire in your heart to go on now in that unity? Or are we happy when we find troubles in the assembly? I find that once in a while. It's really sad, you know, when there is a rejoicing over troubles. I heard of some that are away from the Lord's table, and when there were troubles in an assembly, boy, they just took a great delight in finding all of the details and wanted to know about all these difficulties. Oh, is that drawing from the Lord? No, I don't believe it is. Finally, brethren, farewell. Be perfected. Be encouraged. Oh, may the Lord then just encourage you and me. Be of one mind. How can we have that? By going on with a good conscience with the Lord. Then the Lord will give you and me discernment. And then, beloved ones, you and I will be encouraged in Him. Well, may the Lord just encourage us now. As the days grow dark, as the coming of the Lord just is about to come, may we go on now, and may we be encouraged by the Lord Himself through His Word. Loving Father, we do thank you.